So this is what Jenny and I want to do deeply next year when we go to places like Guatemala, Central America, and so on, is now that we've caught up on this and understood the basics, right? Or some of the basics, we really want to explore that further.
And when you say that, what do you mean? Do you want to help coffee producers transition to regenerative farming, or do you want to continue to research how it's happening, or
It's
both?
both. It's absolutely both, right? And it's also a matter of coming back and telling our customers about it. We are the go-between.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details.
Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 2 of a 5-part series with the esteemed George Howe from George Howe Coffee. George, we're talking about the coffee industry according to you. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the coffee crisis from the perspective of what you're observing at origin. Now, we are starting to see an emergence of regenerative agriculture as a necessity for dealing with this moment. From your perspective, and you've been on a number of origin trips in the last 12 months, what have you been observing?
It's definitely catching on in certain areas. Jenny and I have not been to enough places yet for me to really have a full sense of what's happening. I'm sure there are other people who have picked up on that sooner than we have. We're picking up on it this year. Or when we visit it.
Why do you think it's happening? Is it happening out of the necessity of climate change, the necessity of pricing? What do you think is driving it?
Climate change, for sure. A lot of farmers, particularly larger ones with the resources, are realizing they are not able to produce as much. That the quality may be slipping, the intensity of the coffee itself, the sweetness. There's more variability going on, and then there's also this switch in varieties. Bourbon is really susceptible, for instance, to a lot of diseases. And while many farmers feel, especially those who cut themselves, and more are doing so, those who have resources are really looking for, are tasting that the coffee is, again, losing intensity on the one hand, and looking for newer varieties that are disease resistant in one way or another. That's a different topic, but one of equal interest.
Right.
The varieties, especially these that are hybrids now.
Yep.
That at one point or another start with the Híbrido de Timor or something that is robust a bit. And regenerative certainly is in trying to. There is the sense that the soil is losing its fertility, its complexity.
Across all origins, do you think?
I can't answer. I don't know yet. That's one of the questions.
Right.
Very hard to say. Because we're getting varieties like Pink Bourbon or whatever that frankly just blew me away how good it could be. Right. Is this on a farm that's been around for 50 years or a farm that's been around for 10 or 5?
Okay.
Then again, there are other farms that have been around for several generations and it's growing in the same place over and over again, that is based on the agriculture that was taught in academies for coffee and so on. that really were really aimed at creating industrial high quantity.
Right.
Monocropping
and the such.
Big time, right. Elimination of shade trees or reduction to the maximum degree possible, right? All fertilizers, that eliminated a lot of the mulching, compost, and all the rest of it in many cases, and really reduced the nutrition that the plants were getting over a long period of time, combined with many times herbicides, although there has been over many years now a strong movement away from herbicides, right? Mm. Another topic.
That's a whole series, I would suggest.
May be coming back in some cases because labor is just disappearing.
Yeah.
So as labor disappears, you may be screwed. Now what do you do with what you call weeds? Right. On the farm, you no longer can cut them by hand. On the other hand, maybe you bring in sheep.
Well, and that's the regenerative part of it, right? Like in the, and this, yeah.
But as was pointed out to me, one, you don't like goats because they'll eat everything. Even better. And then you need to herd the sheep.
Yeah.
You can't just let them wander around the farm. Have to be in one place and then you have to move them. So it's a whole other different,
you're it's having a different way of farming.
So that's an issue. So how do you regenerate the soil? That's the regenerative part.
Now,
and, seeing there's not, I, again, we just touched the surface, especially in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
We did several farms. So there are more sophisticated approaches and less sophisticated and all the variations in between.
Okay.
So this is what Jenny and I want to do deeply next year when we go to places like Guatemala, Central America, and so on, is now that we've caught up on this and understood the basics, right? Or some of the basics. Mm-hmm. We really want to
And when you say that, what do you mean? Do you want to help coffee producers transition to regenerative farming, or do you want to continue to research how it's happening, or both?
It's both. It's right. Absolutely both. Right. And it's also a matter of coming back and telling our customers about it. That's the, we are the go-betweens. Yep. We are the messengers between what's happening on the farm and what consumers hear and know about.
Right.
So we are cross-pollinators.
Help me understand something then. Do you think that this is one of the solutions for producers who are on the edge right now?
Yeah, I'm hopeful.
Do you think that this is an us kind of, we're looking for ways to fix what we broke. As the consuming end of the industry, we have a lot of amends to make with the producing end of the industry. Is helping them transition to regenerative farming, is this some way that we can contribute to help them to survive this crisis, coffee producers?
That's the question of, yes, for some, how many? I mean, seriously, because a lot of people are just going to always want their instant coffee.
Right.
They can't be bothered. They just want the caffeine, basically. And that's that. And that's always going to be the bottom of the barrel.
Well, there's plenty of Robusta coming for those for people.
Great. Right. Great type coffees. People who drink lots of milk. They don't need the quality. So I don't know to what degree that can help. It's always going to be about efficiencies.
Okay.
But those farmers who have, I will never forget a tiny farmer I met in the middle of a forest in Peru when I was consulting in 2020. In the middle of nowhere, literally, we walked into his farm from pretty far away. And he served me a really good cup of coffee. And I said, wow. You know, he did a drip. And he was the only one who's ever said, I drink the best of my coffee.
Wow.
Right. And this was a guy, a self-made drinker.
Right.
The only way I can express it, nobody around me was doing this. Or if they were doing it, they're making the typical thing of, you know, back in Peru, it was you brew the coffee really strong and then you add water to it every day. And it can go for days and days and days to this extract, right? This guy was doing it on the spot. Unique. But so there are driven craftspeople. You know, it's as if you go to a country and there's this person making shoes that are priced about the same as the, you know, some big brand next door.
Yeah.
But this person's obsessed about making it perfect.
My question for you is...
Those are the people that concern me the most.
I'm with you there. They're the people who are contacting me right now as we are sitting here recording this on the Friday that is when World of Coffee Copenhagen is happening. Those are the kind of people that are contacting me in despair asking, do the people who are going to these trade shows understand that without producers... Because producers are not being given a platform at these expos. Without producers, none of this industry exists. And I'm embarrassed to, because I've got no answer for them, George.
Yeah, you know, it's very hard to come up with an answer, right? I mean, those people, those farmers I aim at first because they are the potential leaders of other farmers who they follow. Right. So it's critical. They're the seeds, right?
Yeah.
That can generate. You know, that's what we're trying to do with Mamudo.
Right.
Becoming well known in the industry, right?
Mamudo is a coffee that George Howell Coffee made well known across the industry. I've had it. Yeah. It's delicious. It is like something else.
Exactly right. That was preserving the variety, which is not disease resistant, amidst the blitz over decades of change to Ruwer 11, change to Batian, and so on. And I'm begging, don't.
Right.
But, you know, it's like you got to be careful with that because they can get wiped out with these diseases too. So,
yeah.
You have to think of how are you going to, and again, regenerative agriculture may be part of the answer. We need to investigate these things. In Kenya, you're talking about a place where they eliminated trees just a few decades ago. They had them, right? They had shade trees in order to grow more quantity. Well, that's not turning out so good now as the soils get mixed, and the varieties come in that have none of the flavors of the SL28. And so suddenly the farmer is maybe able to produce the kind of quantity that they originally desired because the plants just produce more, mm-hmm. but they're getting lower prices.
And this is where we're stuck, right?
Yeah. So it's not just a matter of changing from this variety to that variety, but of also somehow maintaining the quality, right?
Mm.
Or make it better, but certainly trying not to lose the quality. Because then that is the cheaper prices that you can get.
Well, and then we end up in a race to the bottom, right?
That's right.
Is that what has got us to the situation that we're in now? Because it seems like we're caught in a web. When I say we, the whole industry, but particularly with the coffee producer, my sense is that the coffee producer is so confused by what the businesses in the consuming end want that it's now become dysfunctional. They don't know what to grow and what's going to pay them and what's not going to pay them because now the C market's super high and nobody wants to pay the prices that coffee is. And it's not super high from the perspective of it's not even at above the cost of production. Even at the prices that it's at, it's a problem.
Right. And, of course, this affects consumers who are being faced with, in a lot of countries, inflation.
Yeah.
And who are going to be very resistant.
Yep, 100%.
Prices are going up for everything. And so this is the big issue. There are, you know, there are those farmers who are producing for the quantity.
Right.
They sell to, you know, Nescafe and all the
rest
of it. It's
the same as monocropping, right?
Yeah, and that's what it is. I am not focused on that piece of it. And that's a large number right there. I can only be focused on very good to great.
Right, right.
And that's the role I can play. We all can play, not every role. Part of a much bigger orchestra.
Well, and on that point, that leads us to the perfect place for the next episode, because we're going to be talking about the role that varieties and the shifting role that they're playing in the specialty market, because that is a real conversation around, you know, how do we find our lane? How do we find whether what part of specialty we're occupying? Are we selling coffee for $100 a cup like Nolan was talking about, or are we selling coffee that, it, you know, is just going to go into a Frappuccino? So join us for the next episode, folks. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.